But today I have a special word of encouragement for you that I believe God has given me for you. I was thinking about and praying about what I should share with you guys. And this is the word. The word is, God has got your back. God has got your back. How many here have heard that expression before? I've got your back. I've got your back. Think about this. Say you're walking down the streets of downtown Tulsa, or you're walking down the streets of an unknown city, and you've heard that there's crime in the city, but you've got a friend who knows the city, and he's walking by your side. And as you're walking around the streets of this city, you're a little nervous, you're a little anxious, you're a little afraid, but your friend assures you, he says, listen, I have got your back. I have got your back. You know, I do work on people's houses here in Tulsa, and sometimes I climb some really high ladders. And when you get up 20, 25, 30 feet, you get a little nervous. I get nervous. And I always have a groundman when I'm up high who's holding the ladder at the base. And occasionally I'll yell down to him, hey, do you have me? You got my back? And he'll say, yes, Jonathan, don't worry, I've got your back. So what does it mean when somebody says they've got your back? It means that they care for you. When somebody says they've got your back, it means that they're looking out for you. It means that they have your best interests in mind. You agree with that?
No.
All right. Well, the good news today is that the maker of heaven and earth, God the Father, has got your back.
Amen.
The maker of heaven and earth has got your back. He will never leave you, and He will never forsake you, He says in Hebrews 13:5. He's got good in store for you. He has got your best interests in mind. God is the author of good. He only gives good things. Every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of heavenly lights. You know? He's got your back. Say it with me today. God has got my back. That's it. But you know, God has got your back, and He's got a miracle in store for you. God has got provision in store for you. How many here today are a candidate for God's miracle in your life? Amen? Maybe deliverance? Maybe physical healing? Maybe emotional peace? Rest? Spiritual salvation? God has got your back, and He wants to give you that good thing. But He's looking for something in us. Yes. And what is God looking for from us?
He's looking to see if we have enough faith to be able to trust Him.
You got it. God is looking for faith. The Bible clearly tells us the one thing that pleases God. What's the one thing that pleases God, friends? It's faith. Look at Hebrews 11:6, or I'll read it to you if you don't have a Bible. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So in other words, if you've got faith in God, you're pleasing Him, right? Two things about faith in Hebrews 11:6. Number one, you must first believe that God exists. It takes faith to believe that God exists because you can't see Him with your physical eyes, right? It's like the wind. It's like the air. How many can see the air with their physical eyes? You can't, right? But you can see the effects of the air, right? On a blustery fall day, you see the trees blowing back and forth. You see the effects. You see the leaves rustling. And then you conclude that the cause is the air, the wind, right? It's the same way with God, friends. You look at the beauty of nature. You look at the complexity of the human body. You look at these effects, and you've got to determine in your mind that there is a cause, and that cause is God. He is the creator of nature. He is the creator of this beautiful thing called humanity. God does exist. You see, you've got to believe that the giver of all good things exists before you can believe for Him to give you something. Does that make sense? Before you can receive a good thing from God, you first have got to believe that He even exists. How could you believe to receive something from someone that you don't believe exists? Does that make sense? So, he who comes to God must believe that He exists. And that God is what? He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. How? In faith and in prayer. Now the question is this. What kind of faith is God looking for in us? There's two different attributes to the faith God is looking for in us. Let's turn to Matthew 18 if you have a Bible. Matthew 18 verses 1 through 4. At that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Verse 2. He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So what kind of faith is God looking for in us, friends? He is looking for a child-like faith. An innocent faith. A faith that does not doubt for one moment His goodness. Think about this scenario. About a little girl, 3 years old, who really loves her dad. And her dad, she knows that her dad really loves her. And he comes home at night from a hard day's work and there's a knock on the door. And she knows who it is. It's Daddy. Daddy who loves me. She runs to the door. She opens it and jumps into Daddy's arms. That little girl has got what in her daddy? She has got trust and faith in her daddy. Her daddy provides her food, her shelter, her bed, every good thing that she needs. She does not for one moment doubt the goodness of her daddy. She is fully dependent on Daddy. That's childlike faith and trust. And that's what God is looking for in us, friends. He's looking for that childlike faith that does not doubt for even a second. Make sense? How many here are developing that childlike faith? You know, in order to have childlike faith, you've got to believe that God is out for your best. You've got to believe that God is looking out for your back. He's the author of good and good things only. Good things come from God. The second attribute that God is looking for is a not only a childlike faith, but He's looking for, secondly, a persistent faith. What is a persistent faith? It's a faith that does not give up when the going gets tough. It's a faith that doesn't give up when the going gets tough. You know, you may have been believing God for your miracle maybe for a day or a week or 3 weeks, maybe a month, maybe 2 months, maybe a year, maybe 5 years, and you still have not seen the full manifestation of it. I'm here to tell you today, keep on keeping on in your faith in God. Don't give up. Persist in believing God for His miracle in your life. How many here remember Abraham of the Old Testament? He's a good example of persistent faith, right? When Abraham was 75 years old, what did God say to him in Genesis 12? He said, "Abraham, I am going to make you a great nation. Those who bless you, I will bless. And those who curse you will be cursed." He was 75 when God promised that he would be a great nation. His offspring would be like the sand on the sea and the stars in the sky. Guess how old he was when the promised son came to pass? The son through whom this great nation would come came to Abraham when Abraham was how old? 100 years old. So in faith, Abraham believed God for how long? 25 years of believing God, trusting God for the promised son through whom the nation, the great nation, would come. He didn't give up through the thick and the thin. If Abraham could do it, what does that mean? It means that you and I could do it. He was a human being just like you and me. A man just like us. And if he could have done it, that means we could do it. Look at Romans 4 if you have a Bible. Romans 4:18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20 is the key. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of this great nation he'd become. He didn't waver. What does that mean that he did not waver? It means that he persisted in his faith and his trust in God. He did not give up believing God for the promise and the miracle. And I'm here to encourage you today, don't give up believing God for the promise he has spoken to you, for the miracle that he has promised you. Keep on believing on that God will do what he said in his word he will do for you. Amen? Don't give up, friends. Persist. Don't quit. Your miracle is around the corner. It's around the corner. Now, so the thing that God is looking for in us is what? We talked about it. Faith, right? A childlike faith and a persistent faith. But he's also looking for us to do something else. He's looking for us to put action to our faith. He's looking for us to put action to our faith. See, the word faith is just a concept in itself. It's a spiritual concept. How do you put feet to faith? How do you put hands to faith? How do you make it practical? Down to earth. By putting action to your faith. By putting action to your belief and trust in God. And one of the ways that you can put action to your faith is by planting the same seeds of the harvest you are believing God for. You know, if you want oranges, what do? You plant orange seeds. You plant the same seeds of the harvest you're expecting, right? If you want apples, you don't plant plum seeds, right? What do you plant?
Apple.
You plant apple seeds. If you want grapes, you don't plant pomegranate seeds. You plant grape seeds, right? You know what, friend? God has got a miracle for you. He's looking for faith and trust, but he's also looking for us to plant our seeds. Now, I've got a story that illustrates this. It's called The Rope. The night felt heavy in the heights of the mountain, and the man could not see anything. All was black, zero visibility, and the moon and the stars were covered by the clouds. As he was climbing only a few feet away from the top of the mountain, he slipped and fell into the air, falling at a great speed. The climber could only see black spots as he went down, and the terrible sensation of being sucked by gravity. He kept falling, and in those moments of great fear, it came to his mind all the good and bad episodes of his life. He was thinking about how close to death he was getting, when all of a sudden he felt the rope tied to his waist pull him very hard. So you get the picture here? You got a mountain climber. He's climbing, he slips, he's got a rope around his waist, he's slipping back, the rope catches him. His body was hanging in the air. Only the rope was holding him. And in that moment of stillness, he had no other choice but to scream, "Help me, God!" All of a sudden, a deep voice coming from the sky answered, "What do you want me to do?" "Save me, God!" "Do you really think I can save you?" "Of course I believe you can," said the mountain climber. "Then cut the rope tied to your waist." There was a moment of silence, And the man decided to hold on to the rope with all of his strength. The rescue team tells that the next day a climber was found dead and frozen, his body hanging from a rope, his hands holding tightly to it, only 10 feet away from the ground. And you? How attached are you to your rope? Will you let go? Don't ever doubt the things from God. You should never say He has forgotten or abandoned you. Don't think that He doesn't take care of you. Remember, He's always holding you with His right hand.
Amen.
Amazing, isn't it? Friends, you may be holding on to the rope of fear, afraid to let go. Fear is also a spiritual force like faith is. Fear attracts negative things into your life. Fear, worry, anxiety attract negative things. Faith is the positive spiritual force, and it attracts God's blessings into your life. Will you cut the rope of fear, worry, and anxiety in your life and just fall into the arms of God? Let God take you. Have trust and faith in God. Now, this mountain climber says he had faith. Of course I believe you can, God. But what did he lack? He says he had faith that God could save him. But he lacked action. He lacked in putting action to his faith. Does that make sense? See, friends, you can say you have faith in God, but will you walk the walk of faith? Will you put feet and hands to your faith in God? Is that making sense?
Yes.
Amen? Yes. All right. God has got your back for every area of your life. You may be facing a need for physical healing today, friend. Remember the two blind men in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 9, if you have a Bible. Matthew 9, verse 27. Just have a few minutes left here. Matthew 9, 27. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, "Do you believe that I'm able to restore your sight?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be done to you?" And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." These two blind men had what? They had faith in God, that God was able to heal them. They had a doubtless faith. They answered with certainty, "Yes, Lord, we believe that you're able to heal us." That's the kind of faith that God is looking for in us, friends. How many here could use healing in your body? Do you believe that God is able to heal you?
Yes.
All right. What you might want to start doing is planting some seeds into somebody else's life. You believe that God can help you?
Yes.
He can heal you?
Yes.
Put some action to your faith. How do you put some action to your faith? Start praying for other people's healing. Sow some seeds of healing prayers into somebody else's life. And as you sow those seeds in faith, God will bring about physical healing in your life. Making sense?
Yeah.
Putting action, putting feet, putting hands to your faith. How many here are facing the need for financial provision? How many here know that God is the supplier of every single need? You know, Jesus and Peter faced a financial need in the Bible. You believe that? It's in Matthew 17. Matthew 17, the collector of the temple tax. The collector of the temple tax, Matthew 17, 24. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the two drachma tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others?" "From others," Peter answered. "Then the sons are exempt," Jesus said to him. "But so that we may not offend them, go to the lake, throw out your line, take up the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them from my tax and yours." So how many here agree that Peter and Jesus were facing a financial need to pay the collector of the temple tax? They were, right? Peter believed that Jesus could provide, right? You believe that? He believed that Jesus was the miracle-working God, right? And what did Jesus tell him to do? Jesus basically said, Peter, put action to your faith. Go out and fish. That's it. Open the mouth of the first fish that you catch, and in the mouth will be the money to pay the tax collectors. Peter had faith. He put action to his faith. He put some feet to his faith. He put some hands to his faith. He caught the fish, and the bill was paid. Friends, how many here of you today believe that God can provide for you financially? He can do it for you. But He wants you to put action to your faith. You've got to plant some seeds. What kind of seeds could you plant? You could fill out job applications. That's a type of seed. You could be doing interviews with prospective employers. That's planting seed. You know, you may have a little more money than somebody else, and God may tell you, give some of that money away. Buy somebody some lunch. Give that person $10. You may have $20. He may say, give that person $10. Planting some seed. And as you plant seeds in faith, God will provide for you financially with a job. He can give you a better paying job, right? How else can God provide for you? He could miraculously, supernaturally, lower your bills.
Amen.
He is the provider. Amen? You got it. How many here are facing the need for peace and joy? Emotional peace. You know what? God has got your back in this area. He's got your back. Look at Matthew 17, verse 14. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Verse 17, O unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? Verse 20 is the key, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Why could not the disciples cast the demon out? Because they had so little faith. Why was Jesus able to cast the demon out of this boy? Because Jesus was full of faith. Full of faith. Jesus was full of faith, and he put action to his faith, right? He spoke, and he cast the demon out. That's it. God the Father had his back. You got it. You know, you need to believe God in faith for peace in your emotions. And then you need to put action to your faith. You know, you can bring peace to strife-filled situations. How many here are needing a friend? Sometimes lack of friendship brings a lack of peace. You know, be a friend to the friendless. Be there for somebody who is lonely and depressed. Bring peace to rough situations. All these scenarios are what? They're examples of planting seeds of peace. And as you believe God in faith and plant these seeds of peace, He will bring peace into your life when you need it. Say it today. Faith plus action. Say, I'm going to put hands and feet to my faith in God. In Jesus' name. And you know, the greatest way in which God has got your back is in the area of salvation, in closing. You know, you may have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You may be in the grip of sin and lost. But Jesus wants to save your life. He wants to save you from the grip of sin. He wants to save you from hell. But you've got to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of your life. Or maybe you followed Jesus at one time and you turned your back and you need to recommit your life to Jesus today. You'll have an opportunity in a minute to do that. You may be saved. You might have slipped. You may be saved, but you may have a loved one or a friend, somebody you care for who is unsaved. How many here have a loved one, somebody they care for, a friend who is unsaved? And you're believing for their salvation. You're believing. What does the Word of God say in Acts 16? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and your household, your whole family. So if you're believing for this person in your life to be saved from hell, what should you do? Put action to your faith. How do you do that? Go out and share the gospel with somebody else out there who's lost in downtown Tulsa. Share the seed of the gospel. Don't keep it to yourself, but give it out to somebody who is lost. Is that making sense? Agree with that? All right, all right. Praise God. Putting action to your faith in God. How many here are candidates for a miracle from God? How many are believing God? Not doubting the goodness of God in your life? How many here are going to put action to their faith? Start planting seeds, the same seeds of the harvest you're expecting. Everybody, right?